2020 is almost over.
Yay.
So this year has brought a little bit of everything to the Sunshine State, right?
That's right. We've had invasive species, drunken foolishness, 911 abusers, maybe some pantless Floridians.
Pantless? What about generally naked Floridians?
Oh, yeah.
Alligators in fairly unexpected places.
Yep.
Crazy political scandals and a whole lot of dumb criminals.
Oh, yeah.
So really, we have seen like a potpourri of freaky Florida news.
Yep.
And we are about to recap the best,
mm-hmm.
or maybe the worst, honestly, of 2020.
That's right. All that and more coming up on this week's episode of the Florida Freak Show.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, step right up for the Florida Freak Show.
Welcome back to the Florida Freak Show. I'm Corey O'Donnell.
And I'm Kirsten O'Donnell.
And if you've ever read a Florida news story online or seen a Sunshine State newscast, you know that Florida's greatest export are weird stories about the people who live and play here. And we have some winners in 2020, don't we, Kirsten?
Oh, so many winners, so many losers, you know? But let's face it, 2020 was a weird year for everybody.
So weird.
But weird is like kind of the baseline in Florida, right?
It's all about being weird in Florida.
So we asked you, our listeners, to help us choose the freakiest headlines of the year.
That's right. We asked, you answered, and after more than 700 votes on our Facebook page, we are ready to reveal the Freaky Four, our top four stories of 2020.
Ripped from the headlines.
Ripped from those headlines.
As always. And, you know, our first one actually comes from March, which is before we started the Florida Freak Show podcast.
What? There was a time before the Florida Freak Show podcast?
It seems crazy, right?
Yeah.
It was a simpler time.
It
was so simple then.
Yeah.
It is definitely a story that everyone in the Sunshine State is familiar with, and probably a lot of people across the country as well. So a great place to start comes to us from the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
Mm.
And this one starts like so many other stories in South Beach. First responders got a call about a possible cardiac arrest in a Miami Beach hotel room. When they arrived, they found three men, the one who called 911, one who was throwing up in the toilet, and one who was unresponsive on the bed.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and did I mention they also found three bags of crystal meth?
Ooh.
Well, the unresponsive man was a gay male escort, and the man throwing up was former gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gillum, who had just lost the governor's race a few months earlier by less than half of a percentage point.
Right.
So officers attempted to speak with the former Tallahassee mayor, but he was too inebriated to talk.
Mm.
He later came out with a statement that said he'd actually been in Miami for a wedding when a first responder was called to assist his friend.
Oh.
He added that he never used the methamphetamines, but that he definitely had had way too much to drink at the wedding. And I think we could all relate to that,
yes,
right?
Definitely.
Well, the narcotics were impounded and nobody was technically in possession of them, so no one was arrested. Gillum checked himself into rehab after the incident.
Well, even though no one was arrested, none of this is a good look for Gillum.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, being caught in a hotel room with drugs is a bad situation. But then when you also have others in the room that are unresponsive, it's hard to sell the police on a story of innocence.
Plus, you know, the unresponsive person might also be a male escort might also have done porn, according to some reports.
Yeah.
Probably not like a gold mine for your political career, right?
No. And this isn't the first, you know, Florida politicians behaving badly story.
Oh, God, no. Absolutely not.
Florida politician K.W. Miller has made a ton of headlines.
K-Dubs Mill.
Yeah, in 2020, in his bid for a congressional seat here in 2020, calling out big-name celebrities on ridiculous claims that don't make any sense whatsoever.
Like Beyonce, Patti LaBelle, who else?
Ariana Grande.
Oh, that's right.
Grande, I should say. And he's even going so far as to call out Disney World. What?
Well, yeah, and he also said that, like, all anime was porn.
Yeah.
He said that Beyonce wasn't black, that she was a member of the Illuminati, which yes. I know we hear that all the time.
I'm sure he has tons of evidence that he just is waiting to show us all.
Yeah. So those of you who aren't familiar, K.W. Miller was a candidate for U.S. representative in Florida's 18th congressional district, which is basically everything north of Palm Beach, basically up to the Space Coast, I think. He ran as a Republican originally, spit it out, Kirsten.
Yeah, switched to an independent.
Right, switched to an independent. Yeah. Here's what shocks me. Mm. Like, all the crazy, right? All the crazy tweets, all of the calling out Beyonce, calling out Patti LaBelle. And I mean, come on.
She's a national treasure.
She is a treasure. He only got 2% of the vote.
Oh.
I mean, in this day and age, when, like, crazy is, you know, it's a premium, really, in American politics.
Yep.
I thought crazy would at least get you, like, I don't know, 7-8%, right?
Yeah, I guess maybe it was because so many of his crazy claims had zero merit. Like, it just, people didn't really, like, you know, bite on the
anti-Beyonce super PAC did not throw their money behind him the way he expected.
There were almost so many parts where it felt like, is he writing for us? Like, why is all of this stuff, like, none of this stuff, like, makes any sense
he
whatsoever.
Did call out podcasters and say that podcasters were on notice for, you know, repeating his claims. So I guess
he gave us a lot of material this summer. I just remember that
he really did. But back to Andrew Gillum. Do you know what this... Well, first of all, let me ask you this. Is his political career over?
I don't think so. I only say that because, I mean, we've seen so many politicians that, you know, hit rock bottom and somehow find their way back to the
rise
top.
From the ashes like a phoenix. Yeah, and he's a young guy.
Young guy.
I mean, relatively speaking for a politician. So the whole story, I mean... Americans love a comeback story.
Absolutely. That's the other reason why I would give it. And in addition to that, it's one of those things where when you really hit rock bottom, if you get a little bit of time to, like, figure all this sort of stuff out, people are willing to forgive you.
So what's the only thing Americans love more than a comeback story?
They love tearing people down when they're at the top. That's for sure. I don't know.
Well, I was just thinking Americans love a crazy Florida story.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Andrew Gillum now has name recognition beyond anything he could have ever dreamed of before. But the whole thing kind of reminds me, you know, speaking of comeback stories and politicians.
Right.
Marion Barry.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is not exactly the Marion Barry story.
No.
Like, Marion Barry started out, I mean, he was a superstar in the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
He was a very young, active, energetic councilman in D.C., ended up becoming mayor of Washington, D.C. for well over a decade.
Yes.
And then got caught in an FBI sting, maybe smoking a little bit of crack cocaine with his girlfriend who was an informant.
Yeah.
So he does 6 months of time in prison, and within 2 years he's mayor again.
It's incredible, and I believe me, there's nothing about smoking crack that I think is like an everyman sort of thing.
No.
But I feel like
it made him more relatable.
Yeah, in so many situations, it's just like, oh, he's, you know, fallible. He has flaws, just like everybody does.
So there's a few differences,
obviously,
between the Andrew Gillum story and the Marion Barry story.
Oh, sure.
I mean, Andrew Gillum also was a young superstar. I think he was like the youngest city commissioner in Tallahassee history. So Marion Barry, first of all, like, he not only was a superstar, but he was a legend. He had already, like, survived a shooting, basically an assassination attempt by the time he became mayor.
Which will also, like, you know, really bring you to the top and put you on a pedestal.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But Barry also, like, claimed, really until the day he died, that the FBI set him up.
No.
And I'm not... Yeah. Listen, I love a conspiracy theory, as you know.
As much as the next person.
But I'm not going to say that maybe the FBI hadn't set him up. Yeah. I mean, it was a little bit fishy there.
A little fishy.
But I think Andrew Gillum has his playbook for a comeback.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. First, he has to like escape death.
Yes.
Like he has to have something horrible happen to him, and he has to, you know, rise from the ashes, you know, in terms of sort of escaping the jaws of death.
Yes, that but will definitely help.
He also needs to say he was set up.
Yep.
It didn't really happen.
Right.
Didn't happen to me.
Yeah.
So there's your playbook, Andrew Gillum.
There you go. All set up for you from a master of PR.
Do what you want with that information. Yeah. Listen, I'm giving this advice for free. Yeah. I, you know, if it's for free, it's for me. But at the same time, you get what you pay for. So,
yeah. Well, there's tons of crazy happening in Florida. And 2020 has definitely brought all of that crazy bubbling to the top.
Oh, absolutely. So our next story in our Freaky Four comes to us from June, right before Father's Day. Yep. So let's do a little flashback to this Father's Day story out of Jupiter, Florida. A Jupiter police officer spotted a Jeep making an illegal U-turn and then speeding away at a little after midnight last Monday. The officer followed, and the Jeep actually reached speeds of 85 miles an hour in a 45 zone before he was able to pull it over.
85 in a 45.
So imagine the officer's surprise when he found the driver was a 12-year-old girl.
Wow.
Yeah. The Jeep actually didn't belong to her. Surprise.
Well, that's good. She's not on the title?
No, it belonged to 41-year-old Sean Michelson, who was also in the car at the time. He told the officer that he's friends with the girl's mother and that the girl and one of her friends were staying with him.
Oh, okay.
So Michelson said the girl asked if she could drive the Jeep.
Of course.
So he thought it would be cool, and he was just trying to be a cool father.
Cool father. Always gets you in trouble.
Right. Michelson, by the way, also told officers that he had been drinking, as always.
Yep.
When the officer asked the 12-year-old why she was driving so fast, she said Michelson told her to.
Uh-oh, of course.
Yes, Michelson is charged with child neglect, allowing an unauthorized person to drive, and also for buying the girls some vape pens, thus contributing to the delinquency of minors.
Well, this guy is really taking cool dads to the next level.
He is.
But I understand, because it is very important to be a cool dad. I'm sure that it is. I mean, you want to impress, even if it means threatening your life, right?
Right. I think there's no better way to, you know, convince your lady friend to maybe take things to the next level with you than maybe, you know, risking her daughter's life in some way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Prove your value.
Perfect. Prove value.
It's like the dentist system.
The dentist system, right? We're going with that already? That's great. I understand exactly what you mean. I was thinking, like, when I was listening to this story, that maybe you're familiar with the video game Grand Theft Auto.
Of course. Yeah.
So they always
pick up hookers, you buy some blow, you run over a few people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they need to have a cool dad mode for GTA, right?
I think it's just a whole new game. Instead of Grand Theft Auto Vice City, it's Grand Theft Auto Cool Dad.
Well, and if you have a cool dad that's riding shotgun with you, it almost makes some of these really awful things that you're doing in the video game seem a little...
Dad approved.
Dad told me to drive 85 in a 45.
Dad approved.
But I get it. The stakes are very high to be a cool dad. You know, there's a lot of pressure on this whole thing.
There is a lot of pressure, especially, I mean, Father's Day.
Right around the corner.
Father's Day is right around the corner.
Yeah, and you want to spend more time, you know, with dad, and you want to spend more time with the kids.
Quality time.
Yeah.
Quality time for Father's Day. And I think he's probably just trying to earn some Father's Day points,
yeah.
You know, to rack up that sweet gift on Father's Day.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are neckties still a thing?
Do dads
still get neckties?
Yeah, they're definitely coming
back.
Only
if you're a banker or an attorney, I'm guessing.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, it's not saying it's a great gift, but it's still a thing.
Matching tie and COVID mask.
Ooh, that's
right?
A great
nice
idea.
Nice paisley tie with a mask.
Well, and it just continues it right down.
Right, yeah.
From the mouth right down to the neck. What a great idea.
I'm wondering what you get this guy for Father's Day, though. I mean, he's got the Jeep, maybe some sweet rims.
Oh, yeah.
Truck nuts.
Truck nuts, yes.
Totally seems like a
back truck
nuts kind of guy.
We're so worried about neckties.
What do you mean, bring them back? I see them almost every day.
Oh,
when
you're
I'm
still
driving.
Seeing them? Okay. That makes me feel so much better. I was thinking that they were just a fad.
Oh, no. Are radar detectors still a thing? Could we maybe get him a radar detector?
They were so big when I was a kid. I don't know if they're still a thing or not, but yeah, radar detectors are just a good idea in general.
I think so. I mean, he already has what every cool dad needs, which is a designated driver.
Yes.
He did say he was drinking.
Yeah.
Who better to be your designated driver than somebody who isn't going to turn drinking age for another decade?
Yeah, I'm really glad that he was upfront about the fact that he was drinking and that it was, you know, really cool that he had the DD right there, regardless of what their age is. You know, it's just important. And it really came in handy.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. So happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. That's a great pick-me-up Father's Day story.
So, Corey, did your cool dad ever let you drive before you were old enough?
Not my dad, but I might have driven a farm truck or three well before my 16th birthday.
Okay.
You know, like moving, you know, stuff in the back 40, you know, like, hey, why don't you jump behind the wheel and move that stuff around and all that sort of, yeah, it might have happened.
Pre-learner's permit.
Yeah, oh, definitely pre-learner. You know, I was always a very tall lad, and it's like, hey, can you reach the pedals? You feel comfortable getting back there? Then let's just do it.
Well, and you could probably reach the pedals at like 8 or 9.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's all I'm saying.
So we did have a comment on our Facebook page when we reposted the story and asked people for feedback on it. We had one person say, listen, this is just a Florida thing. Hmm. Most of us drove our cars, drove some drunk uncle
sure.
home on some backcountry road at some point.
Yeah.
Here's the difference. You weren't driving 85 miles an hour down an interstate.
No, you weren't. Yeah, yeah. You weren't at all.
There's
That's
a
for sure.
big difference between a dirt road or driving around on somebody's farm than actually traveling on, you know, any major highway
right.
in the U.S., I would right. imagine. So our last two stories of our Freaky Four actually have quite a bit in common.
Oh.
And, you know, say what you want about Florida Man and the Florida
right.
Man memes. Florida Woman gave him a run for his money in 2020. Our next story comes to us from tcpalm.com.
Oh, all right.
A woman from Port Salerno got in some hot water when things got hot at an adult toy store in Fort Pierce.
Woo.
Police were called into the store because of a disturbance. That disturbance was a woman in a purple shirt, and by the way, nothing else, who was in the store.
All right.
Employees said that she had been fully nude when she removed a, we'll say, power tool, adult toy from the shelf, took it out of the packaging, and went into the store's stock room to give it a whirl.
Why not?
Police went into the stockroom where they found the woman sitting in an office chair doing her thing with the toy, which she dropped once police appeared.
Okay.
Police learned that she also tried to steal an article of clothing from the store. The value of the two items was just under $50. The woman chose not to speak with police investigators. She was jailed on larceny and indecent exposure, which are both misdemeanors.
Wow. Well, try before you buy isn't going to work in the produce department or the sex toy department. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's one thing to pop a couple of grapes in the produce department. It is a completely different thing to do what this woman did.
Yeah, we're in the middle of COVID. We don't need, like, it's hard enough to, like, you know, touch things that other people have touched. Who wants to deal with this?
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, does not say she was wearing a mask. Mm. Just a purple shirt, no pants.
Yeah, she really was nude all the way. Yeah, there's an unwritten rule about all of this, people. And in this case, satisfaction isn't always guaranteed.
Well, especially if the police are busting in before you get your... She can't get no satisfaction.
That's right. It's hard.
I love the fact that she drops the toy when the police come barging in. Did they yell, put your weapon down?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Any sort of weapon you've got in your hand, you've got to get rid of it immediately.
Absolutely. Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, couldn't she have still worn some shorts into the store? Like, the fact that she's going in sans pants at all, then takes off the shirt to do some browsing, apparently.
And I'm not sure exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of details
that
are missing.
There's a lot that we don't understand here.
We don't know if she arrived pantless. And you know, I would think probably not, because it's a good half hour from Port Salerno to Fort Pierce over on the other side of the state.
Right.
You know, I don't think she arrived pantless, but at the same time, who knows?
Yes. Yeah. I'm just saying that if you're wearing shorts, you're a lot less conspicuous than if you, you know, decide to just walk in without them.
Now, the other thing we don't know Is the purple shirt the article of clothing that she attempted to steal?
Uh-huh.
Or did she come with the purple shirt? Like, did she come kind of in a Winnie the Pooh outfit with the shirt, no pants?
Yeah.
Or, you know, did, I don't know. There's so many unknowns.
Yeah. There's so many things you could just put into this story if you wished, or just leave it out.
So here's a question. Mm. So put on your attorney hat for a moment.
Got it on.
Larceny is basically theft, right?
Right.
Is this really larceny? She never left the store. She never left the store with the items. Right. So is it larceny?
Yeah, I always wonder about this sort of thing because you see like security sometimes in a store and you've sometimes I've seen them.
Oh, like detaining a person under suspicion.
But it's almost like they're waiting for them to walk out of the store so that they have them on a stealing charge, because while they're in the store, they could always say, well, I had intent to buy it. I don't know. I have no idea. And that must be one expensive sex toy also to reach larceny status. Or
no,
does it not take
no,
that much?
It doesn't take that much. The two items total were under $50.
Oh, wow.
This is misdemeanor larceny. This
isn't felony larceny. Okay, now that makes a lot more sense. Okay.
So back to her outfit for a moment.
Yeah.
Because we do love our naked Florida people.
Mm.
And we do love our pantless Florida people on this podcast.
That's what makes it so much fun.
We love it when they Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Or
Donald Duckin. Yep.
Or, you know, insert cartoon character without pants
right.
here.
Right. It's a time-honored tradition.
It really is. Do you remember, God, it was a couple of years now, and it kind of went viral, the I was today years old when I realized Winnie the Pooh was a girl?
No.
You don't remember this?
No, I don't remember it.
So it was a thing.
It was trending. I know.
Well, here's the thing. Winnie the Pooh is not a girl.
Right.
Winnie the Pooh is a boy.
Okay.
Winnie the Pooh is referred to by male pronouns.
Okay.
In the books.
Yeah.
But Winnie the Pooh was named after a female bear.
Oh, okay.
Named Winnipeg.
Aww.
Right?
Yeah.
A little Canadian bear named Winnipeg.
Yeah.
That was a girl.
Gotcha.
But Winnie the Pooh, not a girl.
Okay.
And here's my question. Why is it acceptable for male cartoon characters to walk around pantless, but female cartoon characters are almost always fully clothed?
I just think it's, you know, sort of an old world style.
It's a like, double standard.
It really is.
It is the man putting us down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the male cartoon character can just leave it out to air dry and show it off to everybody and just, you know, free and easy, right? And then all the female cartoon characters got to cover it all up.
It's a double standard.
It's a modesty thing, probably.
And I won't have it.
No. I'm glad that we've come a long way.
If I ever become an animator,
yeah,
everybody's pantless.
I love it. I like that. I like that idea.
Now, this lovely lady was not the only pantless person making the podcast this year.
Oh, no. There was the naked guy who broke into a school. The other naked guy who drove across a state to break into a school
and just demolish the school wearing, what was it?
A hat, headphones, and nothing else?
Yeah, I think it was like a construction helmet and headphones and his birthday suit.
At least he was being safe with a construction helmet.
I think that's really important. We had a naked guy who committed, like, I don't remember what it was, 30 crimes in an hour and a half or something like that.
Yes.
We had a pantless guy just hanging around a condo complex in Naples. A lot of Winnie the Poohs,
yes.
A lot of Donald Ducks.
Yep.
And a lot of just bare-ass nakeds,
right.
too.
Well, and it gets warm down here. You don't want to have to worry about the swamp butt and everything like that. So sometimes just like, hey, these pants are just getting in the way.
They really are.
Yeah.
Pants are the worst. So our last story for this year of our Freaky Four comes to us from the month of November. Seems like just yesterday.
Oh, I know.
And while this story doesn't specifically say that the subject was pantless, I think we can probably all agree that it was most likely in this incident. This one comes from the Daily Star.
Yeah.
And this actually occurred, well, It's a two-parter, kind of. Back in late September, Vanessa Lee Jones of Newport Richey, Florida, was caught in front of a 7-Eleven taking care of her personal business in full view of customers. So she was arrested for felony lewd and lascivious exhibition and held in jail, actually, for close to a month.
As you do.
Ms. Jones is apparently a lonely woman.
Oh.
Just a few weeks later, she was arrested again. Once again for inappropriate self-care in public, completely naked in front of the dumpster at a Popeye's Chicken just a few blocks away from the 7-Eleven.
Wow.
Police say she showed no signs of intoxication or drugs and she had no evidence of mental health issues. Needless to say, she was arrested again and now faces charges for exposure of sexual organs.
Well, you hate to see this happening in public. It's really not the place for it.
No.
And really, 7-Eleven and Popeyes, not at the top of the list for most romantic sites to go to, right?
Definitely not.
I guess
not.
Maybe she couldn't. It was too much to go to the beach. I don't know. It's like someplace a bit more amorous. And
well, you've heard of dumpster divers, right?
Oh, yeah. Dumpster divers. Yep.
Yep. She's a dumpster diddler.
Ooh, a dumpster diddler. Nicely done.
No, I kind of get it, though. I mean, I don't get it, but I kind of get it because everybody loves Slurpees. Slurpees are delicious. Fried chicken. Everybody loves fried chicken, right? I think we just need to not confuse love with lust.
Yes.
If a Slurpee makes you randy, you know, maybe you should see somebody about that.
Right. We don't think that Mrs. Jones is like the subject of the song Me and Mrs. Jones, right?
Oh,
we've
maybe.
Got a thing going
right?
on.
Oh.
I don't know if I want to be involved with that thing, if that's what...
Yeah, if that's the thing that's going on, I don't think I want to either.
Right.
You know what I think she was doing, though?
What's that?
Remember the Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich?
Oh, very popular.
She's just trying to scare everybody else away so she can get all the chicken sandwiches
all that spicy
for
chicken
herself.
For herself. You got to do it.
Here's the thing. Do you realize that was only a year ago?
What?
The whole spicy chicken sandwich, like them running out of it nationwide.
Well, I guess it has been a decade since 2020 started.
It really has been.
That's amazing. That's only been since last year. Wow.
Did you know that Popeyes does a, since it's about to be Thanksgiving here,
sure.
Popeyes does a Cajun turkey every year that you can actually pick up for Thanksgiving dinner.
No.
I had no idea.
What a great idea.
It's like $40. It comes pre-cooked. You have to pre-order it. Like
sure.
You can't just show up and
sure.
say, give me my turkey.
Oh.
But I am learning things this week.
That's great. And I have a story about Cajun turkey, like my discovery of Cajun turkey.
We're going to call it Shirky because that's what they
right?
call
that's
it
what
at
they
Popeyes.
Call it. Yeah. When I was a younger lad, I worked at Hy-Vee, a grocery store in the Midwest.
Right.
And they had a meat and cheese island that I would work at,
meats and cheeses.
Every once in a while, cutting sandwiches, making sandwiches for people and cutting up meats and cheeses for everyone. And it gave me a chance to like sort of expand my palate, my Midwestern palate that
your Midwestern high school boy
sure.
palate that was basically like
probably
fried bologna and American cheese.
Yeah, it was not that refined at the time. But the day I discovered Cajun ham and Cajun turkey, which were a staple in the meat and cheese island, I was hooked for good.
Life changing.
Oh. The Cajun spices, they just add so much to everything.
So, and turkey.
Cham and turkey. bigger fan of the turkey, probably because of the lower fat, and it still tasted fantastic.
It sounds really good.
I was all about those subs at the time. But, yeah, I get the Cajun turkey, and now that I know that they have it at Popeyes, may have to do that sometime.
Those of you who are listening on Thanksgiving, there's probably still time to run to Popeyes and get their turkey special, which is not actually turkey.
Oh.
It's 8 pieces of chicken in a plastic container shaped like a turkey.
Oh, okay. That works too.
Not quite the same thing, but you know.
Close enough.
Close enough. So, Corey.
Yeah.
Of all of these stories, and I know there were only 4, but
right.
we covered, over 100 this year on
sure.
the podcast. But of all of these 4 stories, which one do you think is the most Florida, I guess?
I feel like, and this is a tough call, but I feel like the sex toy, like taking the sex toy for a spin was the most Florida-y story that there was. I don't know why. It just speaks to you when you first read it.
Well, you are on the same page as our podcast listeners and Facebook fans.
I hope that I have my finger on the pulse of that sort of thing, but just in case, that's good.
That is the story that received the most votes in our several week long Facebook poll. The young woman who took the adult toy out for a test drive, or really just stayed in for the test drive.
Right.
Honestly, though, isn't that just being a good consumer?
Yeah, I mean, you really do want to make sure that you, you know, check it out and make sure that it fits correctly, all of these sorts of things. It's going to make it a little bit harder to return it if that were the case. Yeah.
So she just thought the storeroom was like a fitting room?
Possibly.
Next time, maybe she should just check the Google reviews for the product, right?
A good idea.
So what did we learn this week, Corey?
Well, I learned...
Or this year, I guess. What did we learn this year?
Well, I learned from the first story that in politics, it's so crucial to have a squeaky clean record, unless you live in Florida.
Well, sure. I learned that the competition for Father of the Year is pretty tight. You got to grab every advantage you can get.
Oh, yeah. I also learned that try before you buy isn't the best policy when it comes to sex toy shops.
And I learned that to Florida women like me, there is nothing sexier than a Slurpee and a spicy chicken sandwich.
Rawr.
So those were our freakiest Florida finds for 2020, the Freaky Four, as voted on by you. As always, you can always find plenty of other wacky news stories from across the Sunshine State just by visiting our Facebook and Twitter pages every single day, or almost every day.
Right. And while you're there, remember to follow us, like us, and share us. That's at FLA Freak Show. And if you see a Florida story we missed, feel free to share it with us.
Also, you know, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And please consider giving us a 5-star review. 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
That's right. We hope you appreciate us as much as we appreciate you. This podcast has got us through some dark days in 2020.
Yeah, it did.
And we hope that we brightened a few days for you as well. Until next week, I'm Corey O'Donnell.
And I'm Kirsten O'Donnell. Until we meet again in 2021, remember to let your Florida freak flag fly.
Goodbye.